Well, welcome to It's a Religion. Happy New Year. Welcome to the podcast that seeks to explain life through the lens of faith. This is Ehud, son of Dennis, the sole proprietor of this adventure at this point. And we're going to talk about life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, the concept that God did create everything in 6 days, rested on the seventh. And he is the reason why we are here and is the only reason and purpose for this life and faith that we have, and that everybody is religious, no matter who you are. You put your faith in something. Every day we put our faith in the fact that the sun comes up, but there's a lot more to it than that. And we're going to explore those things and how people look at this life through that lens and what they believe in a lot of different facets. We're going to start out talking about the Bible, God's Word, and how that can be applied to life in today's society. There's we're going to do a study this year going through a format that John MacArthur, a gentleman I respect very highly, put together. And we're going to use that as a guideline. So I don't know if anybody has that out there, but he did a, my wife has the ESV version of it. But it's basically a year-long you're through the Bible. You start with a couple chapters in the Old Testament, a couple in the New. Today's reading is Genesis 1 and 2, Matthew 1 and 2, and then Psalms chapter 1. And we're going to hit on a few points from those. Let's just do that right now. In the first part of that, you have in the opening of Genesis, what a beautiful thing it is. And this is the crux of the matter, right? No matter what you believe about Jesus Christ, if it doesn't start with the fact that God created everything, that Jesus is the creator and sustainer of everything, then you can't account for life. There's, you know, the whole idea or the whole premise that life started from some cesspool or some explosion 16 billion years ago is an absolute joke. And the only reason people believe it is because people have put their faith in it to believe it, and that they don't want to believe that there's a God, that there's somebody of a higher authority, a higher power that they have to subscribe to and submit to. And so let's come up with an alternate idea. And you look at the history of the guys that started developing this theory over time, and every single one of them had a reason that they did not want to follow the true God. You know, even Darwin had some reasons in his personal family history that if you dig into it a little bit, you'll find out a lot about that. But here's the real absolute truth. And again, if we start from the fact that wisdom begins with fear of the Lord, then this is how we must think, because the Lord God of the Bible is the one who says these things. I am not the one saying these things. I am just going to read them to you and offer some commentary on them as we go. So Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, that is the start. We only know a beginning and an end. We don't know anything eternal here on this earth, because everything that we know of has a beginning and an end. If you plant a tree, it grows, it sits there for many, many years, and then gets either cut down or it dies. A person is born, right, and then they die. That's pretty much par for the course for anything in this planet, okay? There's a cycle to life, and people even put their faith into that, for crying out loud. But anyway, and the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light, and God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And that isn't just a day that's long, you know, because there's a lot of people that claim that, well, we can combine these two. We can say the earth is old and it fits. But this word for yom, this word yom here in the Bible is basically means a day. And, you know, get over it. Even the guys that want to claim theistic evolution, I laugh at that too. It's just trying to fit what God said into what man says. And we're not going to do that here. I don't believe there's a need to do that. I think there's ministries out there like Institute for Creation Research, Answers in Genesis, that will logically explain the facts to you, that will logically tell you hey, look, here's the fact. Here's how we analyze that fact with either a paradigm that we're starting from God's word, that he created everything, or the paradigm that man is the authority, and we need to figure out a way to offer that this is done some other way, right? It came about by random chance. It came about by some explosion of life at some point that just happened with no course, with no direction, with no information or intelligence involved. It just, boom, here we go, like nobody's business. And it really takes a lot of faith, I believe, to put faith in that, because it's really ridiculous at its face. So that's Genesis 1. 2 goes into it a little bit more, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. I encourage you to read it and trust in it. You look at the intricacies of this planet, the systems that are in place for it to sustain itself, the fact that it's dropped in the slot in our solar system just perfectly, with the perfect orbit around the sun, with the perfect tilt, to have different seasons and things like that. It's laughable that that happened by chance. It is. The chances of that happening on its own are so mathematically impossible that for people to put faith in, for people in white coats or professors' hats or whatever, to put faith in that, to me, is astronomically ridiculous. And I will tell that to anybody's face. And the more you press them on what they really believe and the assumptions they make to believe those things, the more I believe they really don't have a leg to stand on, and they'll just lash out with some diatribe about how stupid you are for putting your faith in a God you can't see, when they put their faith in a God they can't see either. They just don't call it God. So Psalms 1 today. This one's short, so I'm going to read the whole thing. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and brings forth its fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And so there's a contrast in those who put their faith and trust in God and those who put their faith and trust in man. And so that's pretty much a theme throughout the Bible that's pretty consistent, I would say. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You either trust in God or fill in the blank. There's many other things you can put your trust in if you choose to. But it's an interesting deal. So then we get into the New Testament. Matthew, the first two books of Matthew deal with the birth of Jesus Christ, his genealogy. And anybody that wants to say that Jesus is just a myth and this and that, I encourage you to read the genealogy, right? I mean, the Jews kept good records. And, that's the other thing that allows me to put trust and faith in the Bible, is that when you look at what Moses did, at least we believe he was the one that wrote Genesis. You look at the history of man, you track it all the way back. It goes back to Adam. There is a written, documented record, right? Now, where else has that, right? The evolutionists don't. They have a pretty picture that says, this did turn into this and this turned into that. They have no proof of that. They have no fossil record that shows that. But they'll show you the picture that somebody drew and make a big deal out of it and say, we know this is true because we find these fossils in these rocks and those fossils in those rocks. And yet what they don't tell you is they start with a premise that because of the picture, those rocks should have been in that. It's just a circular reasoning argument. And again, I'm not a doctor in these things, but I encourage you to check it out for yourself. There's a lot of proof that these guys are full of it. And the folks who put their faith and trust in evolution, I'm saddened. And we should be, as Christians, we should be sad, even for the theistic evolutionary guys that claim there's an old earth. And again, the earth might be older than 6,000 years or so. I mean, that's what you get when you calculate all the years in the Bible from the genealogies. But in essence, because nobody was there, right? I wasn't there. You weren't there. The guy as professorship in biology at the local university that is offering you Marxism because of evolutionary ideas wasn't there either. So nobody can say, hey, I was an eyewitness to this. Oh, wait, except the guy in the Bible, Adam. He was there, right? If he was a real person, if he was the person who was there at creation, the one that was the first being that was created and put on this planet, he was there. He could communicate that down to the other folks in that genealogy. And away you go, right? So there is possibility of somebody who was there at the creation. And that's the only one that we know of, right? There's no other writings, there's no other edicts, what have you, about somebody that was there at the beginning. There may be some myths and things like that from some other cultures, but I encourage you to study that out and see where it goes. So anyway, Matthew 1 and 2 gets into the genealogy of Jesus. And, you know, talks about the virgin conception and all that. And it's just it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful story. The fact that God became man and did what he did and had to go into hiding for a while because I believe the devil was trying to kill him through the use of Herod. But then he wound up hanging out and staying in Nazareth. Now, I heard an interesting message by John MacArthur last night. My wife and I were watching a thing on the Magi. You know, we have this idea that the Magi were just three guys that came from the East and offered these gifts because there was three types of gifts. But his take on it was quite a bit different in that they were probably a group, a large group, you know, thousands of people. And these guys were the ones in the East that helped make kings in Persia, in the Persian Empire. And at the time, the Persians and the Romans were the two big empires on the planet and had fought battles prior to Jesus coming. And now with these Magi coming in, Herod was the reason Herod and all Jerusalem being troubled. If you think about it, it makes a much more sense if they came with thousands of people saying, look, we're here to worship the new king, basically telling Herod, your time's over, buddy. Because there's going to be a new king. We just saw his star in the sky. It really makes a lot more sense. If you're not sure, go to Grace to You Ministries and look up the Magi thing that John MacArthur does. It's really interesting. And again, it seems much more plausible than this storybook version. Even though I love the movie, the new one, The Nativity, that came out a few years back, with the guy that is in Star Wars, he plays Joseph in it. And, you know, it's just a beautiful picture that, you know, the Magi, three Magi show up. I mean, they're neat actors and they show up right as the stars shining on Mary and Joseph. And there's this picture in the manger and they come in and makes me just about want to cry every time because it is a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful picture of the gift that God has given us in himself and Jesus Christ coming to do what was necessary that we might be with him someday and really understand why he created everything, what the purpose is in it. And I think it was to have a relationship with him, to be with him and enjoy him forever because he created us for that purpose. And we should be thankful for that possibility, that hope that we have to do so. So that's a good chunk of our Bible for today. I encourage you to start from the beginning. The beginning starts with God. Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. You cannot have wisdom without fear of God, without looking at God and saying, okay, he is why. He is the purpose, the reason. I have value. I have a certain value to this life because he created me for a purpose, for his purpose. Excuse me. But in the grand scheme of things, without that, what do we have? We don't have anything. You know, life is just a random chance action that has no meaning to it, nothing whatsoever. And, you know, I don't understand the logic around the idea that you can say on one hand, everything was random and came about by chance, and yet there's order and purpose and reason that man has that says certain things matter, certain things don't, certain things are good, certain things are evil. You know, when an atheist comes and says, well, what about the problem of evil? And I just say, well, what's your definition of evil? How do you define that? How do you get to that point? And they'll usually babble something about, well, society decides what that is. And I'm like, no, they don't. Most people know what is good and what's evil. You know, you can try and redefine it all you want, but at the end of the day, you know, even all this gobbledygook about there being 67 genders, it's a ridiculous argument. There are two genders, male, female, period, exclamation point, that's it, game over, right? One has a certain anatomy, the other has other anatomy. Now, there are people who are born with problems, with abnormalities within that. Now, we can't just go and say, well, that's normal, because it's not. It's just like the idea that two men or two women should get married or could get married. That's not normal. That's not the normal way to do things. If everybody chose that path, then we would die out as a species. There would be no human beings anymore because you would not procreate. Therefore, ergo, it's not normal, not a normal thing, right? It's abnormal. You know, the definition of something that's not normal would be it's abnormal. It's not a normal way to do it. So the fact that we're being told over and over again that some of these other things are normal today, and again, you know, I could be chastised if this goes, if I go to Sweden now or somewhere, Norway maybe wasn't, I saw you can't even say that in your own house. And again, I don't say that to be mean to anybody, right? It's just like it's not normal to commit adultery on your wife or a wife for her husband. That's not normal. You shouldn't do that. It's a sin. It's called something sinful. And you know, if I saw you standing in the street and a Mack truck was going to come and hit you because you couldn't see it and you weren't going to get out of the way in time, and I had the opportunity to push you out of the way and save you, should I do that? I think that answer is yes. I think that makes sense. But that's really when I say that about two men or two women and thinking that that's a normal thing, I'm trying to save them from themselves. In the end, if they continue in that path, I don't believe you can put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and continue in sin like that. You know, we are sinful beasts, right? And we have a sinful flesh. And even Paul, the great apostle back in the day, had things he had to deal with that God left him as a thorn in his side so that he would put his trust and faith in God. And, you know, maybe in some of these cases, I mean, God is the only one ultimately that can judge these things. We have to do the best we can with what he's given us. And so, in that sense, we need to go forward with those things in mind and try and make good judgments, try and make judgments, Jesus said, based on, you know, peace, desire for peace, a desire to do what's right in God's eyes, not our own, not in our sinful flesh, but in the ways of God, in the ways that he has prescribed us to look at things, to be merciful, to be thankful, to be joyful, so on and so forth. So with that in mind, let's take a look at some of the news that we have today. It's a new year. Praise God for a fresh start. Every year, and especially this year, it was such a rough year in 2020 for so many people. And we see all these government entities trying to gain more power over our society here in the United States. And it's really a sad thing when I see what's the battle that's going on in this country. And I don't know how we're going to keep it together. I think there's a segment of this country that wants to remain free, that wants limited government, that doesn't want the government doing everything for everybody. And there's a segment of this country that thinks government should be in control. We should have some sort of a socialist utopian ideal. And I think that extends out beyond the borders of the United States to a global enterprise that's going on right now with certain folks that are seated at a table that are very powerful. And you have, you know, folks like Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos and the tech guys here in this country that have become more powerful than they should be. And they really, you know, that's where government needs to act. They need to break things like that up. They're supposed to not be in bed with them, but actually protecting us, because our government here in the United States is supposed to be of the people, by the people, and for the people. And anymore, especially when you look at this last election, it's looking like the government is by the swamp, for the swamp, and of the swamp. And, you know, that's what we elected Trump to do, is go clean that up. I think he's done an admirable job of trying, with being fought against every step of the way, because the mainstream media is on the side of the swamp and loves the swamp because they're part of it. And so now we have a battle coming up here on January 6th next week, which I'm going to be at. that it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Now, one side is poo-pooing it. You know, you read the news, even the local news here in Freeport, doesn't even acknowledge that there's a battle, does not even want to acknowledge it because they don't want to admit that Joe Biden is trying to steal the presidency of the United States. He did not win that election. He did not win anything. There is no way you can tell me that that man won. When you look at the fact, they never pressed him. Here's a story, too, in the Daily Wire. Biden team disables chat on virtual press conferences after reporters ask tough questions. He was never asked a tough question. The guy was never challenged on anything. He sat in his basement for months and months. And when it comes to Election Day, I mean, he knew. That statement that he made, I don't think was, if you watch, he makes this statement one time that we created the greatest fraud network ever to be assembled. And I think that's spot on. I think that's exactly what happened. When you look at what happened on election night and Trump was killing it, and all of a sudden you wake up the next morning and he's behind, and you know, these big vote dumps and all this stuff, and one side just wants to go, oh, there's nothing to see here. And even some of the Republican guys that are coming to the table and going, you know, it amazes me, this Sass, Ben Sass out in Nebraska. I'm like, what planet do you live on? Look at the facts, man. Go through the information. There is no way that guy won anything. That guy got, I bet Trump, if you count every legal vote that really was there, Trump probably won close to 400 electoral votes and just smoked Biden. I bet Biden only got, I don't even know if he won California, for crying out loud, or New York. I would venture to guess that, you know, I know he probably didn't even win Illinois, to be honest with you. If you look at the votes, the amount of votes Trump picked up. But, you know, this is Democrat politics from Chicago taken nationwide. This is what Barack Obama was all about. This has been going on in Chicago for years. That's why Democrats win everything in Chicago all the time. They've had a Democrat mayor for I don't know how long, because it's fixed. It's rigged. And I don't know how you change that, because the people that are in control of it don't want to give up control, right? And it would take a monstrosity effort to change that. Now, I am hopeful that at some point we can extract ourselves in the northwest portion of Illinois out of the Chicagoland area and let it create its own state. Because to me, I'm sick and tired of having to deal with all the Chicago stuff, sucking all of our money and all of our resources that everybody else chips into the equation. And now our property taxes are through the roof because of the mismanagement that we have in Springfield in Illinois. And mainly because all the politicians come out of Chicago, and Chicago's a disaster. You look at any measure or metric you want, and it's an absolute disaster. But hey, we have a fresh start. It's 2021. All things new, Jesus said that he did. He created all things new, which is a beautiful thing. But let's look at, I love the Babylon Bee. And they have a thing here today, Babylon Bee's predictions for 2021. And I'm just going to read through some of these. They say it's official. 2020 was the worst year ever, except for almost all the other years in human history. Will 2021 be a better year? Take a look at the Babylon Bee's official list of infallible predictions for next year and decide for yourself. January 1st, New Year's resolutions begin. January 5th, New Year's resolutions downgraded. January 20th, Biden sworn in. January 21st, Biden dies of natural causes. January 22nd, Trump announces 2024 presidential run. January 23rd, 2024 campaign kicks off. 25th, Obama releases new memoir. Didn't he already do that? Oh, yeah. I guess he's probably just going to keep doing it every year until everybody is forced to read it or something. January 27th, feminists finally begin to reverse Handmaid's Tale. February 1st, all remaining Trump supporters hunted down and executed. You know, there's a likelihood that could happen someday. I mean, I don't see it happening in the immediate future. But, and especially, I think a lot of the Trump supporters probably are the ones with the guns. So I don't know how that's going to work, but anyway, February 2nd, Electoral College, First Amendment, Second Amendment, churches, and capitalism are eliminated. Democrats announce return to unity on February 3rd, after all those things are eliminated. And China officially annexes United States on February 26th. So there you go. March 1st, pronouns must be tattooed on forehead or hand. March 3rd, Space Force training exercise accidentally blows up the moon. March 6th, Elon Musk fixes moon. March 10th, Obama releases new memoir. March 21st, COVID-20 arrives. March 25th, FDA approves first permanent mask facial implant. And it goes on from there. And it's really, if you really look at it, it's pretty interesting. They do a great job of, October 1st, Beth Moore becomes head pastor of Christianity. And, you know, if you really read the Bible, that's not something that should ever happen. And Beth Moore has gone way beyond her, what she should be doing. And again, that's, you look at some of these things, even in the church, there's a lot that goes on by man's wisdom and not God's, not following God's word and thinking that we somehow know how to do it better. Here's a law in Indiana that's going to take effect this year. Indiana law requiring women to have ultrasound before abortion going into effect January 1st. Now, this just seems to project logic, right? It's, okay, I got pregnant and, you know, I took the responsibility to do what it took to get pregnant, right? Nobody wants to talk about that, but that's really what happened. You did the thing. Now you're pregnant. Now you have another person involved in what you did, right? It's no different than if, in a lot of ways, I think, than if you went down to the local drugstore, pulled a gun and robbed the place. Well, now you got another person involved in that, right? Okay. Or maybe a better analogy is you took your friend along to drive the car and you went in and robbed the drugstore, come out. Now they're an accomplice, right? Well, there's somebody else involved now. It's not just about you. It's not just your body. It's somebody else's body is growing inside your body. So how do you somehow subtract the fact that they don't exist just because they haven't been born yet? And so that the whole battle with this thing starts, when does life begin? Is it conception? Is it 3 months? Is it 6 months? Is it a beating heart? Is it, you know, nobody wants to address that. And if we really do have a right to life in this country, then I think it's at conception. If somebody was responsible enough to go do what it took to get pregnant, because you can avoid that. You can avoid getting pregnant, right? You don't have to do the thing that causes you to get pregnant. Period. You know, and I'm sorry, the female species, because of God's ordination and his design, is the one who carries the children. Men don't, all right? You know, you can wish that away all you want, gals, feminists, but it doesn't work that way. So guess what? If you do the thing that causes you to get pregnant, you have a responsibility to see that through for that other person, because the other person isn't here to say, hey, yeah, I'd like to be born. Please, can I come out? You know, I'd like to have a life. That would be nice. You know, you did what it took to put me here, and, you know, it's really not fair. I don't get a say in the matter, right? So just having them to have an ultrasound so they can hear the heartbeat of this child and really know what they're getting rid of. They're not getting rid of a lump of flesh, which is what some people want to say that it is. It's not. It's a living human being. And we all know that's what it's going to be. And so it really irritates me to hear things like that. So going on to the vote thing, witnesses in Georgia say Democrats altered military ballots. Now, this should not be a surprise, but that's really bad. I mean, it's bad enough that you're dumping votes and copying votes and pulling votes out from under tables late at night after you kick the Republican poll watchers out. And yet somebody will sit there and say, oh, there's nothing to see here. That's a normal practice. And I just laugh out loud. And it's coming to a head in this country. You know, the people that want the swamp, that want to be part of the swamp, that want the swamp to run everything and want to be in bed with China, want to be in bed with, you know, the global community and not putting America first and not doing what it takes to, you know, they're using our money, right? You know, every time I hear all this stuff about them giving $10 million to do gender studies in Pakistan to some university over there or wherever it was going, I just cringe. I'm like, where did you get the money, guys? It's out of our pockets. It's our money. It's not your money to spend any way you see fit. It's ridiculous. And the fact that gets so many votes that it did is just beyond me. I'm like, do none of these guys have a conscience anymore? Do none of these people that go to Washington, do they just check their conscience at the door along with their faith or what? You know, I think there's some newer folks that are heading there. I hope that they keep their stuff intact, that they don't get there and get bent to the will of the swamp. So, you know, and here's another one. Police, Portland police declare riot as city's unrest carries into New Year. Man, who would still want to live at that place? I mean, I don't understand that. You know, if I'm somebody that has the means, I'm out of there. I would not stick around to continue that. I mean, it is absolutely ridiculous when you look at all the stuff, that is in place in Portland, and all the rioting that's gone on, all the goofiness that's gone on. It is, it's just ridiculous. And that's, you know, they're trying to take that countrywide. And I guarantee you, if the right and true winner of the presidential election is named on January 6th, which would be President Donald Trump, they're going to go ballistic. There's going to be riots everywhere. And, you know, a lot of this has been sponsored by the Chinese, by George Soros, by all these leftist groups. And in reality, I really don't understand the draw outside of, you know, a certain number of people just want to be in power and tell everybody else what to do because they think that they can do it better than everybody else. It really is. So, you know, the last story I'll talk about is 2020. When you look at the winners and losers of 2020, you know, a lot of the big business people, a lot of the guys that won at the end of the day, Jeff Bezos, I don't know, fill in the blanks. I had a story here from Breitbart that looked like it was... going to explain that a little bit more, but I seem to have lost that. But there was a lot of, you know, big winners that were big tech, big government. At the end of the day, if this thing with Biden goes through, and then you got people like Michigan AG Dana Nessel finds nothing criminal in Democrat firm's contact tracing contract. And she has got to be one of the most, I'm sad for her. She just looks mean all the, every picture you ever see of her, she's got a frown on her face. Doesn't ever look like she's happy. And I just wonder, you know, what her deal is, why she hates everything. Cause it seems like anything good, right, and true is something that's on her radar screen. And, you know, Michigan was messed up. And I am amazed that they were able to orchestrate this the way that they did and pick out just these certain counties where they could dump all these votes and get away with, you know, they could realistically get away with this. Because right now they're still on the winning side of this thing unless the Congress of the United States get some kahunas, like the guy from Missouri, Josh Hawley, that just said he was going to step up. Because it has to happen, people. We've got to fight this. And if you're someone who's listening to this, please go to Washington on January 6th if you can. And let's put all the pressure we can on these guys. Start calling all of them, every senator. I'm going to, you know, I would imagine none of them have voicemails that are cleared out at this point. But we need to take our country back. And if we don't, the people in Washington are going to rule over us. And they're going to use the instruments of power to try and continue to, you know, implement things like these Dominion machines. And we will never have another fair election in this country. And we're going to have to, I don't know. I don't know what we'll do at that point. So welcome to 2021. And it's a religion. Thanks for coming. We hope that this is met with your at least interest, and we'll continue to talk about things. I hope to not make it a show about complaining all the time, but just pointing things out. You know, most of the folks that are putting their faith and trust and hope in Marxism and man are doing so because they don't have faith in God. They don't have faith in the Christian God, the God of the Bible, the one who created and sustains everything. They are putting their faith in man, that man is essentially good, that man came from this evolutionary process, that it's all random chance, that the you know, the world, the Mother Nature is who we got to save and look to sustain us, not God Almighty. So I encourage you to read Genesis 1-2, read Matthew 1-2, read Psalms 1, get into this study with us, and seek out the one true God. of the universe. And we thank you again for coming. We hope to see you next time.